back just as soon as I can.
The mailbox is full.
Greetings, the automatically deleted husband. It's been a again a day that just didn't go as planned. I find the last several days have not been as productive as I would like to be, but the interactions with people have been remarkable. I'm finding people reaching out to me as well as offering blessings to me, which it's been interesting. So what I thought about, and again, I want to encourage my family. But, you know, thinking again about Romans 12, specifically 13 through 16, because, you know, often have mentioned, because I think it's rather significant, verse 14, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them, which, you know, I think this is rather important. Again, I remember listening to a guy, and especially, you know, sometimes particular verses hit people strong and change them. And I just remember listening to a gentleman, if I recall correctly, this gentleman is dead now. He died young. But he was a Muslim, devout Muslim, and for whatever reason read the Bible and specifically found things like, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. And it was, man can't say that. Because, you know, that takes love. That's the love beyond man. And it's God's command. It was the thing that changed him from being a follower of Muhammad to a follower of Christ. But anyway, there is the idea, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, which, I think you can understand that. You know, when you're with somebody who's in distress, you don't go and laugh it up. At the same time, you don't take those who are celebrating and bring them down. That makes, I mean, it goes to the, again, one of the, discussed it again today, one of my favorite words, the idea of encouraging, parakaleo, to call near. And so when you're with somebody, to be near them, you want to encourage them, but when they are rejoicing, you want to celebrate with them. And when they're the opposite of that, you don't give them a false joy. You're with them. And I think that's the way to show love. But one of the things that I've thought of often is verse 16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. You know, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. I find it interesting. One of the translations that I read was, well, but with the lowly, going along. That's the LSV, or yielding to the lowly, or things of that nature. But anyway, it seems to be in most translations I see, and I'm not clear on the wording, but it is to kind of to yield to or be with, be together with. So therefore, the idea of associating. And, you know, I know, especially when I was younger, I wanted to be with the powerful. It wasn't all-consuming, but it was very present. You know, and again, I think about the time. There's some others, but probably the biggest ones is the time I, you know, sat next to Ray Kassar, the former CEO of Atari, at the top of the Hyatt Regency at their restaurant in this big round table, and he was introducing me I was the guest of honor, and he was introducing me to the group there. And, you know, that's the place where you want to be, because you're with the powerful. I mean, this guy was a powerful man. But again, in the God's grace, even before I knew him, he made it very clear, this is emptiness here. And it was. It really was. And again, it collapsed. But the other time I think about is the time I stood on the trading floor of the New York Stock Exchange. And you could see that tenor of, we're the powerful. And by then I knew it was a facade. But I made some money there. You know, I mean, I provided a product. I didn't make money on trades. I sold them a product. But I could already see there was this aura of power. And no, I wasn't interested by then. And, you know, it's been interesting because, you know, when it's cold this winter, in the facility I'm at, you know, they don't do it anymore until, I guess, come winter again. But there is, you know, this used to be a bank building, and it has a bunch of office space underneath and lots of rooms. Apparently, there was a lot of the big, you know, maybe even a mainframe kind of, you know, the old mainframe here, because this is an old building. But anyway, they would host what they called the Warming Center. It was at a church, but the church kicked them out because there were a lot of people doing drugs. But the gentleman, Chris Petrillo, who owns this building, you know, said, no, we're going to host these people. And yes, you know, it's been interesting. I've seen people, a whole lot of people who are very high, but also seen the drugs. And it, you know, when they were here, it was interesting. Obviously, those people were asked to leave when it's found. But it's, you know, we still open the doors to the others. But I invested time in these people. And one of the things that it helped me do is the Romans 12:16, associate with the lowly. And what I found is, in that and similar things, you know, like a daybreak when I was there, it's kind of like Mike Day. He was basically the bottom of the barrel, and very few people cared about him, but he's my friend. And, you know, years before, decades before, he was, you know, a high-end drug dealer, making lots of money. You know, talked about his times, visiting big names in Hollywood and things of that nature, and ended up alone, ignored. And I think I learned a lot, because I don't think I would have associated with him when he was a high-end dealer, but it was easy to associate with him when he's at the bottom. In, you know, the same way, I did not have a passion to associate with Ray Kassar. I felt the draw to the money, but not to the facade of the power. And of course, you know, anyway. But now I've been associating with these people here, and I heard two people who were the volunteers who would help that I talk with. And two of them said, in a slightly different way, they do it, maybe it was even three of them, they do it understanding that most of these people, a lot of these people are simply on drugs. They have no desire to get off out of the situation they're in. And you might say there's no hope for them. But we don't know that. And every once in a while, somebody gets picked out in the grace of God. And I've heard people say that. They do that not because they know the masses are abusing, but there may be that one who changes their life. You know, and I picked out, as I observed these people, a couple people that said, okay, they got the ability. And, you know, I actually, in one case, you know, I told them, I talked, you know, we had a private conversation with them. you know, basically said, you can get out of this if you want it. And, you know, it was well received. We had a good conversation. And it appears he doesn't want to get out of it. There was another gentleman, and I've seen him since. He seems to have no interest. Actually, two other gentlemen seems to have no interest. They're at the bottom, and they have no desire to get out. There was one gentleman that I saw him a couple times, and he was high. But I also had a conversation with him when he wasn't. And I saw in there a rational person if he wants to get out. And apparently he didn't. I mean, last I heard. Because again, I invested time with him. Try to give him hope. But all these people, I mean, we're talking many dozens of people. There's one who I continue to associate with. And, you know, he has had the problems with drugs and alcohol and other things. Time in prison and whatnot. And I think he's coming out of it. I think he's that one that makes it worthwhile. And so the idea of associating with the lowly, why? Because some of them are called by Christ. And I really think this man is showing indeed that's true. And I found that interesting because my friend Chris, now Chris sent me a link to an article, wanted to talk about it, which I actually, since I'm on the email list, I got it. And it was in reference to a gentleman that I've talked with, I had email dialogues with. We were supposed to get on the phone. He never did. His name is Chad. He wrote an article in reference to Nala's Salvation Against Her Christian Legalistic Critics. Apparently a woman, Nala, was a fairly high-end porn star, made lots of money and so forth, and has come to Christ. Had an interview, and I saw the beginning of the interview, because there's a linked video, and I watched the first 5 minutes of it or so. I haven't seen the rest of it. I did download it. And what you saw is someone with the makeup and so forth, and she talked about what she went into and how she's repented. And there was another party who criticized her because, you know, she's not the barefoot and pregnant idea, though, in my terms. She still has the pink hair and excessive makeup and things of that nature. And said, the one comment is, you're not really Christian until you get rid of that. And the article from Chad says, no, this is wrong. Chris asked for some comments on that, and I wrote a comment. One of the things that has become clear in my walk with Christ is that I'm not the model for others, but Christ is his way to show his grace to others very differently than he has to me. It is the grace of Christ that is to be celebrated, not that we have become a member of a club. When we read Luke 7:45, and he said to her, your sins have been forgiven, our Creator did not add, if you do this, that, and the other, and join the club. The path that each of us take will probably include a lot of baggage being carried with us for a long time, including the way we dress, speak, and act. But the Lord's grace is not stopped because of that. One of the great sins in my life that the Lord continues to work on is pride. It is so easy to look down at someone who hasn't met your standard. I recoil when I see this in myself and want to encourage others to offer grace and walk with others who are being called by Christ. We are commanded to encourage one another, not to look down on them until they meet our standards. Romans 1:12 stands out that our encouragement is mutual. Last year I did a video, Modern Day Slavery from Cocoa to Sex, Offering a Fighting Chance for Some, which addresses the arena that Nala was a part of. What is clear is that most are, quote, groomed into the field, so they voluntarily become part of the lifestyle. but that does not put them out of reach of the Lord's grace. Let us celebrate all who the Lord shows his grace to, and be patient with them as we hope others will be patient with us in our maturing. I don't think I worded that as good as I should have, but I hope the point is clear. It was interesting to me that Chris brought it up. But when you look at someone and you see that they haven't, let's say the pink hair. Pink hair does not keep you from the grace of God. So we need patience. If they never change on that, that does not keep them from Christ. And I think this is consistent with the idea associated with the lowly. Because a lot of people, the idea, again, we'll use the example of pink hair. It's not a big issue on them in the sense this is right or wrong. It's just what they do. And if they're, especially lowly in the sense of they may not have the mental ability, because maybe it's self-destruct because of drugs or whatever, or simply they don't have the ability. And it hasn't come across to them or become important to them. They got to get rid of the pink hair. So what? It could make you uncomfortable around, especially the coat and tie crowd. But I think that's why we should be able to associate with the lowly. But there's the other thing. Verse 13, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. So again, the warming center, they contributed to the needs of a whole lot of people. And I would suggest one of them in particular, the one gentleman I alluded to, is one of the saints. And showing hospitality was obviously the open the doors here. And again, there were some nights where 2 or 3 dozen people were actually sleeping in a big room here and even in the hallways and cots. I think it's about 2 dozen people was the biggest. But there's the other side of the coin. Two different parties that I have tried to be an encouragement to, and both of them today, which I find remarkable, both of them said, if you ever need something, money, food, I'm here. I'm ready to offer. And, I don't need that from them. But when it comes from somebody who's not, with lots of cash, 2 in 1 day offering that. And the irony is, in both cases, it was just after I came back from the store, getting some food. But to have that offered by someone, so it's not just me showing grace to them, but others showing grace to me. And I find that amazing. Because it's not from the rich, from those with the plenty, but those with the minimal. And I think this is one of the benefits, because again, it took a long time for me to be willing to associate with the lowly. Took a long time because it attacks your pride. And, the initial drive, be a blessing to them. And their friendship has become a really significant blessing to me. So anyway, I want to encourage my family on that. Man, I'm starting to get long. I want to encourage my family. Some of the foulest people. It goes back to the Norma McCorvey idea. The foul mouth, homosexual woman who became Roe when Roe v. Wade, says, "Oh Lord, forgive me. I forget what words. You know, just forgive me, Lord. Please forgive me. Something of that nature. I forget get the words wrong. And knows the grace of God. And I am convinced that's true. I hope that will be true again for my Eric Lee, for Jack, the rest of my kids, but I know nothing about them. And most importantly, for my wife. My lady, my wife, I love you and I ask for you back.